Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Dr. Joel Schultz, he's back, needs no introduction. We've been covering his stuff for years, and he formerly and probably currently writes for Police One still. So thank you so much for being on the show, Doctor. Also, retired Secret Service, we got Rich Steripoli. And also Frank Loveridge. And these guys, you probably recognize them from Fox News and Newsmax and the circuit. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. And Andrea Casal, she is back and a crowd favorite. Andrea's been on the show since she retired. And we were just talking about, I was surprised that it's actually been as long as it has been. It's been a lot shorter than when I retired. But welcome back to the show. Andrea is involved with school. And, so she teaches and stuff. And so we get her during the summer months and stuff and spring breaks and all that good stuff. So thanks for being back, Andrea. Please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com and also FishOrlandoBash.com. Now, Brett, where do you like to take the wife, the kids, or the grandkids? Where is that place in Orlando?
I like to drop them off at the front gate of Disney World.
There you go.
That's right. That's where I like to take them. And then go fishing and go look at gators with our
buddy Zach. Yeah. You know, Zach has got at fishorlandobass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter. So you have options now, guys. When you're going to Disney, don't just stroke it off as a bad trip or one that everybody's going to enjoy except for you. Just the wife and kids are going to have a great time. Drop them off. Go hook up with Zach. Do the bass fishing charter at fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous and you don't mind losing a digit or two, do the alligator hunting where you catch and relocate alligators. That's a neat time with Zach as well. So yeah, Brett can show you the scars, but I don't want him to stand up because I don't know what he's wearing right now. But yeah, we've also got a shout out to Prime Birds with Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. You know, I think that it's not on the agenda, guys, but I think that we need to talk about the big, beautiful bill. You know, I think that we just need to just acknowledge that that thing has passed. And then the first thing that we're going to do is the 4th of July. And so since Rich has got the 1776 flag, you know, we may let him do like a little, you know, tribute for the 4th of July. And now since I just sprung that on him, maybe he can think of something to say as I'm going through the other things we're going to be talking about. But bombshell, Donald Trump, Russian narrative implodes. CIA review exposes known flaws in intel. So listen to what the big reveal is on that. Then we got a Connecticut cop arrested for firing a gun instead of a taser. It happened again, and he made the same mistake when they put him through retraining. I'm thinking, this may not be the guy you want working for you. Then San Diego officers fatally shoot a guy who's armed with a brass knuckle knife after a chase and a crash. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect. I believe that's the guy. I think that's the naked guy, Andrea. I know you're going to want to be all over that. Charges dropped against the final law enforcement officer in the Christian Glass case, the kid that was broken down in the car and called police for help. And then we have a cop on the hood of the car pointing the gun through the windshield and takes the kid out. We got double stabbing and arson suspect fatally shot by Prince George deputies. And then CHP, they're going to pay $10 million for the paralyzing a Salinas man that was high on meth, armed with a gun, and pointed at police. Imagine that. Salt Lake City police released body cam footage from an officer involved in shooting along the train tracks. So, guys, that's what we're going to be talking about now. Today is the 4th of July. You know, the big taboo in radio, you guys may not know, but I do because my producer gets on me all the time, or my radio syndicator. Don't give dates out on, you know, on the radio on your show. It dates your show and people may not want to replay and stuff. But when you have a special day like the 4th of July, you know, and then everybody's got flags on, mine's on my back. All right. And all, you know, in my defense. But everybody, you know, it kind of goes without saying, we have to talk about the 4th of July. Would anybody like to give, I mean, for one, I appreciate the independence of this nation, and next year's going to be an even bigger day with the date, but it's kind of interesting. We just had that military parade, And it's a good reminder that, you know, we would not have been able to celebrate next year 250 years if we didn't have a military about it, you know, a year ahead of time fighting the fight in order to make sure we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. Rich Staropoli.
You know, listen, people ask me all the time, what makes the United States military great? You know what makes it great? The fact that it's all volunteer, right? We are one of the few nations on earth that built the military purely out of volunteers and a sense of patriotism and a sense of discipline and pride in standing for something much bigger than the individual. And I think that's what makes this nation great. That parade 2 weeks ago speaks volumes about the United States, and more importantly, speaks about we are back, right? The last 4 years under the Biden crime administration, and the communist, socialist, woke, liberal DEI administration that you saw there, that did nothing more than loot and pillage everything they possibly could, and that U.S. aid is a prime example of that, that's all in the past. We are back to where we belong, and we showed it last week when we bombed Iran, hopefully back into the Stone Age, the first of many more to come. Frank, what do you got?
Wow. Well, first of all, amen to everything you just said, but I do want to say one thing. I am just taking so much pride in the fact that our military now is starting to meet their recruiting goals. They're exceeding their recruiting goals. There's a form of patriotism now that's exploding all over our country. Look, the military is not a place for a social experiment. It's a place to basically break the people down, teach them how to fight, and put them basically in a position where they're going to go out there and serve their country with patriotism and loyalty and integrity. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Pete Hegseth is bringing back to the military. You know, and also lead by example. You see him out there. He PTs with the troops. He's out there. You see a leadership style that we haven't seen in a long time in our Secretary of Defense. And I just love what I'm seeing. And I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. And I'm proud to be a part of this country.
You know, when you come in and you make the kind of changes that you're talking about, Frank, you know, you're going to be met with resistance. As we've seen, it's nice to see that he's getting the backing that he needs in order to be able to accomplish that.
And he is. And you know what? This was what it was all about, was to bring somebody in that would make these dramatic changes from the military. As you know, in the past, we saw things that I didn't appreciate as a 15-year veteran in the U.S. Air Force, professor at West Point. You know, I used to teach leadership, and I got to see the forming these individuals into being the soldiers that would basically go into battle and win our wars for us. That wasn't the methodology that was being used during the Clinton administration onward. We started moving in that direction when I was there in 1993. And I'm just glad to see we're moving back in the right direction, and that our soldiers are now given the right equipment and the right leadership to do their job.
Yeah, so, Andrea, the pendulum is swinging back, you think?
Oh, for sure. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all of our service members, to our first responders. My father, Chip kind of said before, you know, my father came over from Cuba many years ago. And, you know, we were brought up with a sense of pride. And I haven't felt that feeling that, you know, like people have been able to really truly feel proud of their country for so long. And I just really have to say, I'm feeling it again. I know what it felt like being on the street as a police officer with not having the backing. So I can only imagine how the military felt and how lost they must have been, and just kind of the state of confusion that the military has been in for so many years. So it's really nice to see the direction that it's going in. I have just been, I'm constantly like on Fox News, I'm just sucked in, and I just can't stop watching with everything that's going on right now. And I finally, I'm like, yes, you know, thank God, because that is the house that I grew up in. Pride, you know, everything that we have in our family, my parents worked very hard for. And it's just really, it's just a whole different feeling. And again, they have to feel so much better in the military right now, knowing that they're strengthening themselves, that they're, you know, getting the backing that they need, and that they can truly go out there and serve their country, which is why people join the military in the first place, or they should. And if not, then you don't belong there.
Now, people watch and listen to the show, and Andrea says she watches Fox News. It's not like what my neighbors think. When I say when I ask my neighbors and poll them, because they're like way up the chart. Like I told this story the other day about, you know, Alligator Alcatraz, and my neighbor was completely clueless and fed with all kinds of false information. And I watch Fox News. Well, he watches Fox, the local Fox 13 affiliate, a liberal twist. So yeah, Andrea watches Fox News, and big difference. And when I have to admit, you know, the thing I like about Fox News is that they show you what everybody else is saying. And when I say show you, I mean, you're actually watching CNN. You're watching what are the whacked out chicks, The View. They're even showing you. I mean, you're seeing some of the most whacked out stuff being said on national TV. But they're showing the other news sources, and they're completely upfront about what other people are saying, and they're telling you the difference and telling you why there's a difference. And so when you're being lied to, as Rich knows, and you know, you can only slap me in the face so many times before I'm eventually going to get it. So.
Yeah, and I'll mention something about Fox News National, Chip. As many times as I've been on there, no one has ever asked me, what am I planning on saying? And no, you can't say that. So what you see reported from all these people on Fox News, and I'm talking about, you know, the network, that is not rehearsed. No one's reading off a script. No one's being told what to say. This is not CNN or MSNBC or MSDNC, as it's called, or that ridiculous of The View. Right. So what you see there is the voice of the American people.
Beautiful. Dr. Schultz.
You know, I'm a pretty hard hearted guy. I'm just managing to get my smile back after 40 plus years in law enforcement. But one thing that never ceases to touch me is the flag and the anthem and the visits to the national cemeteries and to parades with soldiers. And I just urge people, you know, we've been through a lot of disgusting kinds of things over the last 4 years, and some frustration and some anger. Just let this day touch you. Let the history touch you, and let the reality of God's blessings touch you on this day, if none other.
God has certainly been good to every one of us. Guys, the big, beautiful bill, it ended up, I wasn't sure it was going to happen yesterday. It happened. It went from the House to the Senate and back down to the House and stuff. We've got about 15 seconds, but any commentary or surprise on that? From what I understand, and they're still going through it, I'm still getting information, but I like what I hear so far. Chief Schultz, 10 seconds.
When you have a wildfire, you either have to douse it completely, hit a fire line, or start a backfire. And the extremism that we've seen out of the White House is a reaction to stop the wildfire.
All right. Thank you. Excellent. Guys, time for first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online option, it's almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. It's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they have a radio code. I have that radio code, and I'm going to give it to you. It's Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And hey, I've gotten a pair of their new Mission Made, tactical pants that are unbelievably comfortable, and they're nice. They're thick. They're well built. And I just got, you know, a $200 pair of Danner boots that are waterproof. Gauls.com. All right, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that we're all in love with, and it's called the glove. But don't get stuck on the glove, guys, because they've also got personal protection. So in the day's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, we're not done. They're MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers. They actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue the kill for up to 28 days, giving you peace of mind and helping you stay protected both on and off duty. And when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. So learn more about how to equip your team today by going to compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Look, we've just talked about a few things. Number one, the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, everybody. And also, Dr. Schultz just talked about the big, beautiful bill that just passed the House yesterday. So I'm excited to hear more coming out about that. Now, if you guys are ready, we've got a main story that we're holding on to that we're going to be covering next. And they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Look, this heavily affects law enforcement. Law enforcement is involved in this. I'm not proud of some of the stuff I'm reading here, but I'm glad that it's finally getting out. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, bombshell, Donald Trump, Russian narrative implodes, and the CIA review exposes known flaws in intel. So it goes, it's talking about a newly declassified CIA review. Now, look, this is all about CIA and FBI, and we got former directors of both. So just, I don't want people to get confused. So I will I'm going to get through this quickly, but I'm going to try to make it as simplistic as possible. So they have declassified this information. And so it was ordered by Director John Ratcliffe. He has sharply criticized the U.S. intelligence community. Remember, they're made up of a bunch of organizations, not just FBI and CIA. And they're critical of a 2016 assessment of Russia election interference. He cites serious tradecraft failures and politically motivated decisions by former FBI or former CIA director John Brennan, and now the counterpart of that, the FBI director at the time, James Comey. They both dropped the ball. In fact, it's not a negligent thing. It was like an offensive thing. The review, dated June the 26th and released on Wednesday, evaluated the December 2016 intelligence community assessment. It included Russia interfered in the 2016 election with the intent to help President Donald Trump win. Now, Director Ratcliffe, and remember, he's the guy that's released on this and announcing the release on Tuesday. He stated that President Trump had entrusted him with ending the weaponization of U.S. intelligence. And he said that the findings revealed that the assessment was conducted through an atypical and a corrupt process. Those are things you don't want to be hearing about your intelligence community. Under former directors Brennan, CIA, and Comey, FBI. Now, this 8-page document compiled by the CIA's Directorate of Analysis, it found that the inclusion of the discredited Steele dossier, and remember that was former British spy Christopher Steele, and it was funded by opponents of Trump, that it ran counter to the fundamental tradecraft principles, and ultimately it undermined the credibility of key judgments. So they typically would not have let this information in and been making rulings and judgments and paper off of this, but they did anyhow. It says multiple senior CIA managers and two senior leaders of the CIA Mission Center responsible for Russia, they actually opposed the inclusion of this information, but that Brennan overrode their objections. He chose instead to include a 2-page summary of the dossier that they did not think should have been included. The decision, the report added, implicitly elevated unsubstantiated claims to the status of credible supporting evidence. So they made what was not substantiated look credible. In other words, vetted, like it had been investigated and proved to be true. The CIA also faulted the FBI, so they're not going to go down alone. They led at the time by Comey and then Deputy Director Andrew McCabe for pushing aggressively to include the dossier. So there's more information in here. That's the nuts and bolts of it, and that should get everybody's blood boiling about this. Andrea, I see your mic's open. You want to start us off? Or did you not know your mic was open?
My mic was open.
You've been gone so long
I know. I feel rusty. First of all, I think that I'll talk since my mic's open, but all the corruption needs to go. The fact that we haven't weeded out so much of this corruption and people haven't been held accountable is very hard for me to swallow. You know, being a police officer for so many years, you sit there and you look at, And I mean, unfortunately, there's corruption in so many different places, but it's time for it to go. You know, we really need to get back to I'd much rather know the truth, start weeding them all out, and let's start over, because it runs so rampant. And it's just, you have to, you know, we take an oath to uphold the law, and that's what needs to happen. And we need to start seeing some of these people held accountable.
I think Andrea was on the show where we actually were praising James Comey. It turns my stomach to say that now, but he was on vacation with his wife, Rich. And I think that they were like in the Seattle, Washington area. And he took time from his personal vacation. And when he was like shaking hands and shaking hands with cops and kissing babies. And I thought, man, and he's got, he looks the part. He's tall. He's nice looking. And we were just singing his praises. And then we found out what he was really capable of. And it just turned my stomach. Rich Staropoli.
Listen, that guy Comey, since you mentioned him, he belongs in prison. That guy did more damage to the United States than the Japanese did when they bombed Pearl Harbor on December 7th, right? And let's talk about Brennan for a minute, the director of the CIA. CIA is where I started, right? When I got back to New York post-September 11th, which, by the way, Andrea, you probably weren't even born on September 11th when that happened, right? I became the top secret control officer for the Secret Service. I read more documents that came out of the intelligence community, specifically the CIA, than anybody you could possibly imagine. There is no way the director of the CIA cuts a memo, includes that information, and doesn't know what's going to take off as a result of the director sending out that memo from the CIA. You don't attach this. This is a top secret cover sheet to a document from the CIA and disseminate it out to the intelligence community without realizing the implications of that. This was a total fabrication. This is a total collusion on the part of the CIA and the FBI, and this is why the American public trusts neither one of them. And ultimately, the Secret Service ended up in charge of the Joint Terrorist Task Force, specifically because of these problems. These guys all belong behind bars for what they did.
Wow. Wow. Now that I, you know what? I'm in favor of that. I think we're all thinking the same thing. I couldn't get away with doing stuff like that and not be sitting in a jail cell, Frank.
Well, I'll tell you, Crossfire Hurricane, when it first got started, was not predicated on anything. According to the Durham report, there was nothing out there when this whole thing started. And then you look at it, the Durham report also reports that the Hillary campaign was trying to tie Trump to Putin. So you start to see it fall together here. Then you have Comey coming out and saying that no reasonable person would convict Hillary Clinton for all of the classified information that was on her server. And this bombshell that comes out right before the election. So you start to see it. Look, we're all criminal investigators. We know. I know we're getting to a break here, so I'll go ahead and edit that. But it's positive. Basically, we know what's going on here. We're not. They're not fooling us.
Excellent commentary, guys. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Brett's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 3-weight platform, nothing short of spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. We just announced that we are going to be doing a Gauls gift card giveaway here on the 4th of July. So for people who haven't won in the last 60 days, and if you're watching the live stream, all you have to do is type in the word Gauls, G-A-L-L-S, in order to enter the contest. It's a digital card, so I'll need your email address. And if you win, I'll be able to email that to you right after the show is over. So it's really, it's a great way to start your 4th of July holiday weekend. What an opportunity. So make sure that you guys type in Gauls and give us your email address. Guys, any more commentary on the last topic? You guys ready to move on? I see Frank. Frank's moving his finger. There he goes. What's up, Frank?
I just want to end with this. I think that you can take a look at this investigation. You can see that we had a Pfizer warrant that was basically fraudulently done, basically was sent out by Kevin Kleinsmith, who was an attorney for the FBI. He lied on the warrant to go after Carter Page, and he got 12 months of probation for doing that. So you can just, that's something to really highlight the fact that this is the way they treated this investigation. And I think that we need to take a deeper dive, hold these people accountable, and go from there. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Rich?
And Frank, you hit it right on the head, right? The word investigation and the CIA just don't belong together in the sentence, right? They are there to collect information, analyze it, and disseminate it. Why are they getting involved in any type of investigation? And how about the header to that document? You'll notice the header, which is who gets the information disseminated to, leaves out the Secret Service. I say that was done intentionally because there was concerns about that information being leaked from the Secret Service directly back to the Trump administration. And the director of the CIA and the director of the FBI did not want that to happen.
I agree 100%. I don't know why the CIA was conducting this investigation. It should have been the FBI. And on top of that, there was just too many hands in the cookie jar. And if you look at it, I don't trust what was going on back there. I know you don't either, because we've talked about this before. And I think someone needs to do a complete investigation and hold these people accountable for what they did.
Excellent, excellent coverage, guys. If there's nobody else, Chief Schultz, were you going to add something?
Well, just that, you know, a lot of people say, well, let's move ahead. Let's quit worrying about the past. And it's all politics. And we can look at it from a distance and maybe read some interesting editorials. But the real impact on human beings and on the public and on international relations is very deep. And so it's very, very justifiable to continue to dig into this. And I don't think the Russians or the Chinese or the anybody that was messing with us on social media cared who won the election. It's about creating dissension within the American public, and they sadly have been very successful at that.
All right, excellent. Thank you, guys. Hey, let's move on to our next one here, and I'm going to go in and pick here. We've got I got to cover this taser one here. We've got it's ctpost.com. A Connecticut cop arrested for firing his gun instead of a taser, and he made the same mistake when they put him through retraining. There's issues here. Let's go in, and it's not the first time this has happened, right? I'm not talking just for him, but I'm talking about, you know, Kim Porter, some other ones. So we've got in Windsor, we've got after firing a shot at a fleeing suspect, Windsor police officer Brandon Thomas reported that the discharge was accidental because he had meant to fire his taser and not a service weapon, according to the state inspector general, Robert Devlin. And he wrote this in the report about the shooting. Now, the reason why they're starting right off with the word accidental, because there is some verbiage in the statute in order to be able to, whether or not you can charge an officer. And of course, the officer is saying that it's an accidental discharge to protect himself from being charged. So here's where we go from there. The IG Devlin, Inspector General, found that the officer, Thomas, was not justified in firing at our bad guy, Giovanni Nunez, on the night of January 30th, even though the officer claimed that he meant to fire his taser. Now, Thomas, 34, that's our officer, he ended up being arrested and charged with second-degree reckless endangerment and unlawful discharge of a firearm. He's been on restricted duty ever since. Now, when asked on Wednesday for clarification on the status of the officer of his employment by the department, they simply said that he's remained on restricted duty. So he's not been fired to the best of our knowledge. Now, the fact that he pulled out his firearm, this is a quote, the fact that he pulled out his firearm instead of his taser does not make the discharge an accident. And this is the IG talking. The discharge was not accidental. It was an error. Officer Thomas bears responsibility for that error. He goes on to say that the officer, Thomas, had no basis for using deadly force to arrest Nunez after noticing the license plates on his Jeep Liberty did not match the vehicle, according to Devlin. He goes on to say that while some may argue that because no one was struck by gunfire, there should not be anybody prosecuted, the IG Devlin wrote that the Police Accountability Act frames the law differently, thus the why the officer's pushing the accidental discharge angle. Now, Windsor Police Chief Donald Melanson supporting his officer, writing in the news release after this that Officer Thomas made a mistake in a high-stress, fast-evolving situation. The officer was being proactive, and his actions did not merit criminal charges. So he's not happy that his officer is being prosecuted criminally. Goes on to say that during remedial training, though, after the shooting, the same officer mistook his firearm for his taser again, according to the inspector general. And in an appendix to the report, the IG described the positioning of the tasers and the guns to help avoid mistakes. And they show a photo of the officer's duty belt. And it shows the firearm is on the right side, the taser's on the left side. But you'll notice that the taser and the firearm are the same color. It's not that bright, you know, yellow taser. It's black. I really don't know how much of a difference that makes because I'm not looking down at my gun and the color of it. But when it goes up in front of my face, I might notice a difference in color. But it says both weapons, it points out they're both black. And they are, it does talk about them being on the same level. And I'm talking about horizontally on the holster, not higher or lower. And apparently that's something that some agencies are doing so that you can tell the difference, you know, when you're trying to deploy a weapon, whether it be taser, you know, less lethal or lethal. Many police departments select tasers that are bright yellow. It talks about distinguishing them between firearms, and it talks about positioning them higher or lower, like I just covered about. And Devlin put that in his IG report. So that's what we got. It's not the first time this has happened. I'm curious who wants to take this thing first, but the plight of this officer, especially going through retraining and he's done it again, I'm almost wondering about a lie. If I was the chief or the sheriff, if I'm having to put a liability hat on, which of course they do, do I want this guy working for me? And if I allow him to work for me and he makes this mistake again while working, you know, on duty, and he's screwed it up in remedial training, what kind of exposure do I have liability wise? Rich Steripoli.
I got to tell you, liability is one thing, but I'm more concerned about, I don't want to be in the locker room dressing next to this guy, right? How many times are we going to allow this guy to mistakenly pull out his handgun thinking it's a taser and vice versa, right? There are some people whose head just isn't in the game. They shouldn't be a cop. This is like hiring a guy with a stuttering problem to be a dispatcher. He's just not the right guy for this job, right? How many times are we going to retrain this guy? I don't care what color the taser is, or hell, if it's even flavored. Makes no difference to me. When you pull that gun out, you had better realize what you've just pulled out there. You know, inexcusable for what's continued to happen with this guy. He's got to be shut down.
Yeah. Now, look, people watching the show, Frank, they may be thinking about cops. You know, we all stick together, you know, blue, we cover for each other and stuff. But we're witnessing the opposite, right? I mean, we actually, no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop, right?
And right. You know, Chip, I have to go ahead and say, Richie's got this one. He's dead on. You know, this may not be the right line of work for this officer. And obviously, it's the second time it's occurred. I mean, the right side, the left side, it doesn't matter what color it is. It's your weapons on your right, your taser's on your left. You just have to know that. You have to train it, and you have to be able to do it. And, you know, pulling your weapon out when you're thinking it's a taser is not an excuse. We used to call it accidental discharges when I was an investigator, when I was an inspector in the Internal Affairs of the Secret Service. We then changed the term to negligent discharge, because it's negligent when you're discharging your firearm. You've got to be better than that. This probably isn't the right line of work. And Richie, we used to have, if you remember, an individual would come over the loudspeaker in New York, didn't speak English. We had a problem with that as well, but we ended up working around it. So that might be the right job for someone else too. Just bringing that up.
So, Andrea, I'm kind of thinking after Rich, I'm glad I don't have a bad stuttering problem, because he probably would recommend that I even host a talk show. Gee, I mean, you know, after that rant.
I'm going to try and speak clearlier, because I don't know. Sometimes I fumble over my words. I was just going to say
Well, you're Cuban.
I know. I talk fast and I talk with my hands. Just, you know, first of all, I remember in training, we had an incident where there was, you know, a situation where an officer froze during training and watched her field training officer, you know, take a beating. And instead of trying to tell her, hey, this might not be the line of work for you, it was a remedial, hey, let's take you back. It wasn't for her. And nobody would give her that advice. I finally pulled her aside and said, hey, if it's not for you, just be honest with yourself. We need to be honest with these people. First of all, we need to go back to our training. We need to not make it so, you know, we need to make it more difficult for law enforcement officers to get in. We need to pay them higher. And I think that if we have better training and we weed out the bad in the beginning, you don't have situations like this. In a sense, I mean, I don't feel badly for the guy, but I do feel badly for the guy, because if nobody told him that you're not cut out for this, you know, now we've put him in a situation where not only do we put his life in danger, anybody else on the street, but our law enforcement officers that he's standing next to. And I think that that's very important, that we stop telling people, hey, you know what, it's okay. You know, it's like giving them a trophy. Good job. You're going to be okay. You know, you need to work on mental toughness, build them up. Let's go. If you're not cut out for it, get out.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong for not being cut out for law enforcement, but you're right. They need to get the message. Guys, you're coming up on our break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett here, and also attorney Ken Afiako. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We are joined by Chief Joel Schultz, retired Secret Service Rich Steripoli, and Frank Loveridge, and Officer Andrew Casal from the Tampa Bay area. Thanks for being on the show, guys. We're having a great 4th of July special show, and we're covering a lot of really good, interesting points. We just covered a story where, yet again, unfortunately, we had, well, I tell you, the fortunate part about this is nobody died, right? So our cop that pulled the mistakenly pulled his firearm out instead of the less lethal taser, and he shot at a uncooperative guy. He didn't hit and kill anybody. So even though it was inappropriate use of lethal force, they're not saying it would have been inappropriate use of less lethal force. But the biggest takeaway, I think, and this is that even with retraining, let's assume it's a training issue. I know a lot of the stuff we cover is simply a training issue, right? I mean, training is not equal across the country. I will dare say, and don't get me in trouble, but even officers are not, we're just not created equal, right? And this is a perfect example. Sometimes we just have people, no fault of their own. They just don't have the capacity to get it. It's not necessarily an intelligence thing. Just sometimes it's just not the right fit. And so this guy on remedial training, he's still doing the same thing. I totally agree. Especially if you're wearing the chief or sheriff hat, you got to cut this guy. Before something worse happens. And there's nothing wrong with not being cut out for law enforcement. Chief Schultz.
You know, there is body cam footage out there on this, and the officer who fired the shot while he's still chasing, he reholsters and then takes out his taser, and then he's saying, No, I didn't shoot you. It's kind of,
I remember,
kind of put a lid on that case.
He finally came clean on it when he realized he couldn't pull it off, and it was on the body cam, I guess. But I remember that. Andrea, final words.
One thing that's unique with, and not that everybody can't do it, but you know, we and law enforcement, you have to be able to do many things at once. Thank you. Talk with my hands. You have to be able to do many things at once, you know, and I just remember always talking myself. It's like my brain kind of slows down. You talk yourself through every single moment, what you're reaching for, you know, the words that you're saying. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes, and you'll see some of these videos, words come out that, you know, you don't necessarily mean to use, you know, foul language, but you know, you're talking yourself through everything. And I think that, you know, that's one of the things. You have to be able to multitask. You have to be able to be in high stress situations. It's not an excuse that you're in a high stress situation. You have to know which firearm, your firearm to pull, your taser to pull. You need to know which weapon that you're going to use, and you need to know the situation that you're in. You have to be able to think fast. Not everybody can do that. That's okay. You just might not be cut out for this job.
True. Hey, Andrew, I got a question for you. How many knees on bad guys did you take out? I mean, I know that before, I mean, you had your knee taken out eventually on the job, but how many bad guy knees did you take out before you had yours taken out?
I can't count, but normally I would just take them to the ground. I think that was the biggest thing is, I mean, you know, if I'm there by myself, then, you know, you're going down. So it's probably somewhere, you know,
I've seen how you take people down, and it ain't pretty. They're going to be walking with that limp for the rest of their life. So I just wanted to, you know, relive that event with you. So thank you. So if you guys are ready, we've got another story here, and we got some stories with video components. So let's jump into that. And we're going to jump over to San Diego, California. I do like San Diego. There's a lot of similarities between that and the Tampa Bay area. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. San Diego officers, they fatally shoot a man who was armed with brass knuckle knife after a chase and a crash.
What the fuck are you doing, man?
I want to die. Please, I want to fucking die.
Hey, get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get the fuck out of the car. Get out of the car. Let me see your fucking hands. Let me see your hands. 614 John, I got one at gunpoint. He's asking me to shoot him. He's going westbound Coronado. He's stopping Pescadero, Sunset Cliffs. He's got a knife. Hey, let me see. Next unit, try to go deep. Hey, let me see your fucking hands. Let me see your fucking hands. Hey, back up.
Let me see your hands.
Flores, back the fuck up. Let me see your fucking hands. We're not going to shoot you. Get on your fucking knees.
Stop. Kill me.
Stop.
Get on your fucking knees. I'm going to shoot you, motherfucker. Get on your fucking knees. Get on your fucking knees!
Stop!
Hey, let me see your fucking hands! I'm gonna shoot you, motherfucker! Get on the fucking ground! Drop the knife!
Drop the knife! Drop the knife! Jesus Christ! Drop the knife!
Drop the knife! Hey, back up, back up. Let's get some distance. Let's get some distance.
Drop the knife. Back up.
Hey, we don't want to hurt you, okay? Listen.
Why?
Follow my commands.
Stop.
Hey, let me give commands.
Back up.
Hey.
Stop.
We want to help you out, okay?
Then leave me alone or kill me.
If you approach us with that knife.
Drop it.
Look, you kill me.
Drop it.
Hey, he can't drop it. Flores, let's get over here.
What the fuck are you doing?
Hey, guys, back over here.
Drop it, drop it, drop it.
You're gonna get shot right now.
Shot.
Get on the fucking ground.
Drop the knife.
Get on the fucking ground.
Get on your stomach.
Hey, all right, I need a hands team. Somebody behind me.
So here's how this thing goes down. The video shows officers from the San Diego Police Department. They respond to a call about a man that's standing in the street and he's blocking traffic. And they get the call about 9:10 in the morning. It's on May the 31st. So according to the police, this bad guy is identified as Jacob Eppel. He's only 32 years old. And he's telling random people that he wanted to harm himself. So now we have body worn footage from the officer that shows up. Officer Miranda, he confronts Eppel, our guy that's doing the self-harm thing. And he's seen driving a black sedan. So Officer Miranda repeatedly orders our bad guy, and I'm saying bad guy because he ends up being uncooperative, to get out of the vehicle. He drives away. Thus, bad guy, uncooperative, noncompliant. So he drives away, and he leads the officer, Miranda, on a pursuit through residential streets before he gets involved in a car crash. And so, you know, then it goes on, and the story, you know, gets even better. So in this story, you know, we got the pursuit going now, and he gets involved. Eventually, our bad guy gets involved in a crash. Officer Miranda then gets out of his patrol car with a less lethal taser, and he approaches him with a knife before he gets back in his car and drives away. So there's a, you know, there's a little moment where they have like a little face down, and the bad guy gets in the car and goes away again. Now, the pursuit ends again when Apple's car is involved in a second collision. We have multiple San Diego police officers arriving on the scene of the crash. Two of them deploy their tasers, and Apple, our bad guy, proceeds to approach Miranda while still armed with a knife. Despite repeated commands to drop the weapon, bad guy does not, continues to make what they call concerning statements. And now we have officers using their tasers on Apple. They had minimal effect. And then he gets back inside of his car. And this is kind of weird. He kind of lays down by the driver's side of the car, and he's holding the knife to his neck. And then he exits and he approaches Officer Miranda again. And now Miranda finally fires his service weapon, and he strikes our bad guy, and he eventually dies. You know, looking at my show notes, it's just a lot of stuff they left out. But the knife, it's one of those knives with the brass knuckles. I had one in my garage, brass knuckles and a knife extended, but I think that one of my contractors stole it because it's now missing out of my toolbox, but it was pretty cool. But they're more for show, but technically you could punch and cut somebody in the same stroke. But it was an interesting story with a video component. Commentary on this, guys, we got about 3.5 minutes. So Frank Loveridge, go ahead, buddy.
Well, I was just going to say, that sounds to me like a suicide by cop situation. They did everything they could. They used non-lethal. That didn't work. The pursuit continued. And then when you're being approached with a knife, that's deadly force. You have every authorization to use deadly force to neutralize the situation. I think everything here is kosher. I think there's no problem there at all. And I do think it probably was this individual had a death wish when he got involved in this whole confrontation. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Andrea.
I was going to be a little more critical. I think that the commentary, if you listen to the officers on that, I mean, they're bickering. They were like, let one person take charge. The one that took charge, I felt like he was, his emotions were up and down the whole time. And, you know, I kind of felt like there was a lot of conflict there. And everything he would say to do, the other officers would kind of go and do the opposite. He's like, back up, back up. I mean, we're talking about cover. Like, there were just different things that I was like, wow, you know, it could have been held. And I hate to be critical because, of course, it is a high stress situation. But at the same time, you know, he's sitting there, he's armed with a knife, you know, and they're giving them commands, and the officers are bickering back and forth. This is one of those things where clear, concise direction, and you cannot be so, you know, you guys can't be at each other's throat on that call. I just felt like they were a little bit, conflicting.
Well, thank you. And I you know, they were a little all over the place. Chief Schultz.
Yeah, I agree with Andrea. I was a little disappointed in the lack of teamwork and coordination. But I'd say two things. One, if your taser fails, holster the taser. You know, you tried. It was a good try. It didn't work. Move on. The second thing is I hope this first officer is not teaching de-escalation for the department. His initial contact was like F-bomb within the first 15 seconds. You know, whether that made things worse or better, I don't know.
Well, thank you, guys and girls. And, you know, just on a final point here, I know that we're kind of winding it down, but according to Denver7.com, charges are dropped against the final law enforcement officer in that Christian Glass case. This is the kid that was stuck in like a ditch. He calls cops for help. We have, you know, part of the problem might have been the multiple agencies. I mean, we literally had so many agencies on the scene, no one taking charge. And I remember that we've got a cop on the hood with pointing his pistol at the kid on the other side of the windshield. Kid had a knife. And they were trying to get him to get rid of it. But then we finally have a cop punching the rear passenger window behind the driver out. And that's when the kid with the knife was trying to stab that officer. And that's when they took him out. But a lot of guys ended up losing jobs, being prosecuted. And they finally, this officer charges, they dropped some charges on some people. But any commentary on this, guys, on the on this event being over with now? I know that there were some learning curves and they actually had to do some training stuff as well. Rich?
You know, I think one of the big things that stood out here is you did have about seven different departments show up, right? The Idaho Springs, you know, reserve police officers to the Division of Gaming officers showed up. Yet you want to hold all these people accountable? They're rolling up on a job. There's a cop on the hood of the car at some point. You know, you got to deal with what you've got there. How can you hold these guys accountable? This isn't like they were this cop was beating a prisoner who was in handcuffs, right? The guy saw something, he fired the shot. Now you want to hold all these guys accountable? I'm not sure that's the way to go here.
Yeah, I totally agree. But another great show, gentlemen, and on the 4th of July to boot, Chief Joel Schultz and also Frank Loveridge and Rich Deripoli from, you know, Secret Service. And also we've got Andrea Casale from Tampa Bay. And she was a police officer as well. So thank guys so much for being on the show. We usually talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And, but I also know that Chief Schultz has got, you know, books that he writes, and I'm sure he's got one with an arm raised. And look, there you go. What do you got, Chief? And your mic is muted, Chief, but, I know that there's no test at the end of this. So we're good.
You probably muted it. You're in the habit of doing that on me.
I think it was Rich.
Everybody give hand signals to. No, 2 for $25, anxiety book and brain science book.
Hold that thought. Let me just get this in here. Guys, support our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision, Gun Learn, My Medicare, Safeguard, Two Bells, FisherOrlandoBass.com. And we'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.